Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, we've already talked about what Advent is and how variously we consider the coming of our Lord as he was incarnate in his word and also in judgment at the last day. Our text for today points particularly to that last, to the last day when our Lord and Savior will come again and all humanity will be separated into two groups, the sinners and the righteous. As Jesus says in John 5, "For a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned." Because of that, there's a need for us to watch. There's a need for us to be ready. There's a need for us to be among the righteous when our Lord and Savior and Judge comes again. There's a need for us to be among the righteous when we breathe our last and pass from this life. As we read in our epistle lesson, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Surely we do live in the certainty that we just sang about in our hymn. The day is surely drawing nigh, that day, the last day of all, the last day of this world. The first thing for us to understand about this is that every time Scripture talks about Judgment Day, the end of the world, the second coming, that they're all the same. It's speaking of the human race being divided into two and only two parts. And that's the point of our text when it says, Jesus says, "That's how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left." One will be taken, included in heaven, in perfect fellowship with God, enjoying the bliss of everlasting life. Another will be left eternally alone, separated from God and all his goodness in hell. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. John 5 again. A little scary putting it that way, isn't it? What's the difference between those who have done good and those who have done evil? Between the righteous and the sinners? And that's really a good question, considering that in our experience, there's really only one kind of person. And the Bible says the same. As our experience says, Ecclesiastes 7, "There is not a righteous man on earth who does what's right and never sins." So then you see, there must be another righteousness. A righteousness that comes from somewhere else. Because I don't have any. Do you? Do you have a life of perfection you can point to? A sinless life? Well, the fact is, there is a righteousness that comes from somewhere else, and that's just what the Bible says. Romans 1:17, "For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last. As it's written, the righteous will live by faith." And again, in Philippians 3, Paul says, "What's more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, and being found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. That's all completely consistent with what Jesus said too in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God himself brings us to spiritual life. He brings us to faith so that we may know Christ. And that we may know that he was given over to death for our sins, and that he was raised to life so that we might be declared innocent, that his death might be the payment for our sins, and so that his righteousness could count as ours. And so what this all means then is that on the last day, the world is going to be divided. Divided between those who have saving faith and those who do not. It'll be divided between believers on the one hand who bear the righteousness of Christ and unbelievers on the other hand who have no righteousness at all but stand under God's condemnation. So as we come toward the end of our lives, as we come toward the ends of the world, the message is this. Watch out for unbelief. Watch out for anything that would undermine your faith, that would separate you from your faith, that would cause your faith to wither and die. The obvious warning here is that we need to be found among the believers in the hour of our death or when the Lord comes again. And he could come at any moment. He could come now! That quickly, in the twinkling of an eye. And do I need to point out that nobody will know when that day comes? You know, Jesus is talking to believers here when he says that you will not know when the Lord will come again. That your Lord, he's talking to believers there, will come in a day when you do not expect him. We'll be surprised. Would you have been surprised if he'd come yesterday? How about if he'd come 10 minutes ago? Yes. Now, not saying we're not ready, but the thing is, we won't know that day or that hour when he comes. But thanks be to God and his mercy, he's made it clear how it is that we can know him. And what's more, how can we can be sure that he continues to keep us and nourish us and strengthen us in the faith, even in spite of all of the opposition that we face throughout our lives? And the answer is that he can keep you, and he keeps me. He keeps all believers everywhere in the faith through nothing less than the means of grace, nothing other than the gospel in word and sacraments. It's through the gospel that he brought Adam and Eve to faith, for he gave to them the promise of the Messiah to come, the gospel. Likewise, Noah, likewise, Abraham. And 3,500 years ago, his prophet Moses delivered the Lord's command that we do what? That we keep the day of rest holy. And it wasn't for the rest for the body alone, but rest for the soul, that we may come to the oasis of his word And not just on that day either, but that we may be nourished by his promises, by the assurance of his forgiveness. And of course, that command was repeated also in the New Testament, where he commands us to gather together regularly around the means of grace, to search the scriptures, for through them we know our Savior Jesus Christ. And it's through the gospel and word and sacrament then that we come to faith. Especially think of how many have come to faith through the gospel and holy baptism. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul writes, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew and then for the Gentile. And it's through the gospel that he keeps us. As Jesus said in John chapter 8, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus underscored this over and over again. Remember the parable of the sower? What did he say there? It was a warning against those who would allow the worries, riches, and pleasures of life to separate them from what? From the word. That gospel that needs to grow and remain deep in our hearts. And by contrast, it's the falling away from faith, the falling away from this word that is the great token and sign that the Lord is coming again. As Paul writes to the Thessalonians, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And sad to say, we see that in every generation, and don't we see it in ours? Because people will not make use of the gospel. They will not make God's word part of their lives. They will not reflect upon it. They will not go through that basic exercise of repentance, reflection upon the forgiveness that God gives to us, that is part of every Christian life. And so, every faithful preacher warns his people, watch out for indifference. As it was in the days of Noah, Jesus says, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. What's the difference between those people and you and me? There is a difference. There absolutely is a difference. It has to do, first of all, with your being here today. Why are you here today? It's true. We eat and drink and we get married and we have kids and we marry, get them married off. And then for us, life goes on, just as we were talking about here. The difference lies in this, that the life of the believer is lived in the knowledge of faith in and obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ. Or putting it in another way, Jesus matters. That's the opposite of indifference. Jesus matters. His word matters to us. It matters to us in a way that nothing else does. And I'm talking about even important things. We set our weekly schedule so that we can return here to the spiritual oasis of God's word, where he is ready to pour out forgiveness and righteousness to us through his word and sacrament. Jesus matters in what we teach our children and how we teach our children, so that those poor little sinners too, like us, they know that there is forgiveness for them and do not despair but they rejoice along with us in his forgiveness. Jesus matters in the way we live our life. He matters in who we marry and how we spend our time, how we spend our money, how we spend our energy. So that the last day, the amazing thing, from our point of view, is that there will be so many things that we have done in our lives out of love for our Savior that Jesus will hold them up as evidence of our faith at that last day. It will really be that the righteous, and we'll be included among them, bearing the righteousness of Christ and in our lives living out our faith, that we will be welcomed by our Lord and Savior. See, the fact is, Jesus matters. We're not indifferent to him. And so when we're afflicted by our sinful flesh and the world in which we live, when we fall into sin, it matters. We acknowledge our sin to him, and we rejoice in his words of forgiveness. And when we offend one another, when we hurt another person, especially another Christian, we admit our sin. When someone hurts us, we're quick to forgive. You could say that the fact that Jesus matters also affects our morality. That might be misleading because, you know, there are some good unbelievers around. We can see lots of outwardly good people. The difference lies especially in this: for whom are you good? That is, for whom is morality important? We love him because he first loved us. And finally, Jesus matters above all when we face death, because we face it in faith in his righteousness. And so what's the warning? The warning is, watch out for indifference. Remain in the word of the Lord so that he may keep you in the faith, so that when he comes again, he will find you, even if surprised, he will find you ready because he matters to you. Now I'm going to complicate this just a little bit by saying that if Jesus matters to you, you will watch out for him, and you will watch out for being careless, for being carelessly led astray by so many things in the world that are arrayed against him and against his word. Therefore, keep watch, Jesus says, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. We need to keep watch and be careful, because the devil, the world, our flesh will draw us away from the truth, if at all possible. The devil wants us to be complacent. The sinful world resents the fact that Jesus matters to us. Sometimes more than our friends. Sometimes more than even our family. Jesus matters to us more than anything else. So as Peter says, scoffers will come in the last time, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And then Peter goes on to point out that he delays only because he's merciful. And so, watch. Watch out. Watch out for indifference. Watch out for carelessness. Watch out for unbelief. And so remain in his word. If you remain in the word of Jesus, you won't be caught unawares. And you'll be watching not with fear, but you'll be watching with joy. For this kingdom of Christ that we're part of by faith lasts forever. But it's this world that's passing away. So watch. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.